What if the gravity of reality is knowable and, once heard, resonates universally? This is a new way to make sense of the universe. What makes this powerful is not how far it reaches, but how little it has to assume. As you listen, you'll encounter ideas and the one equation that weaves together areas of science once thought to be disconnected in ways that are concrete and clear. When you discover the elegant nature of the universe and these connections, you will naturally question how you ever saw the universe in any other way. Do you hear that? One string under tension. A wave racing through its medium. The air. That's the universe. Real, continuous, and alive with motion. It isn't carried by air. It isn't carried by emptiness. What we call nothing is not nothing at all. If you can picture a vibrating string, ripples on a pond, or a trampoline, you can picture reality. This is the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis, or UMH. We'll trace the story of how humanity reached this point, from ancient elements to quantum fields. And for those who sense that reality is deeper, more harmonious, and more elegant than we had ever believed, we will ask the simplest, most transformative question. What if space itself is the substance of everything? In this journey, we'll explore what that actually means. How the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis, or UMH, redefines matter, space, energy, and even information. And how it connects everything we know and have observed into one coherent picture. A frictionless, mechanical, continuous medium, whose looping patterns, folding and curving within itself, make up the literal fabric of reality. This medium is not a fluid, or a gas, or a material in the sense we are familiar with. It has no drag and no preferred rest frame. It produces the laws of motion exactly the same, no matter how fast you travel. This audiobook is the intuitive guide and is a bridge between physics and philosophy for thinkers, dreamers, or people who wish to see the truth of the universe. The Ultronic Medium Hypothesis, or UMH, is not just a philosophical picture. Behind everything you are about to hear is a fully developed mathematical theory, with formal derivations and public simulations from the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript. But this guide is about understanding, not equations. The Ultronic Medium Hypothesis does not replace Newton, Einstein, or Schrödinger. It explains why they worked, and the underlying physics beneath them all. And this matters, because a scientific theory is only as strong as its testability. Now, let's begin. Chapter 1. from elemental substances to the medium. Since the earliest days of human thought, we've tried to reduce the vastness of nature into just a few simple ingredients. The ancient Greeks believed everything was made of four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. Not just substances, but principles of change, solidity, flow, transformation, and motion. As knowledge grew, those elements became atoms, tiny, indivisible building blocks. Then came electrons, protons, neutrons. Then the standard model, with quarks, leptons, bosons. A catalog of invisible pieces interacting through four known forces. Each step brought success, and a clearer understanding of the interactions we see all around us. But beneath the success was a quiet question. What are particles actually made of? And what are forces made of? And how do these forces, well, force?
We keep dividing, but we never reach the bottom.
Exactly. Each discovery only raised the question again. We've described how things behave, not what they are. Newton showed how gravity acts, but not why it exists, what it is, or how it works. Quantum field theory describes particles as ripples in fields, but those fields live in an unexplained, empty vacuum. Think about that for a moment. A vacuum. Nothing. That somehow has fields, energy, and structure.
It's always bothered me. How can nothing have properties?
Physics has been built upon emptiness. And yet the emptiness teems with unseen things. Quantum fluctuations, virtual particles, entanglement, fields that fill every point of space. Under UMH, this contradiction dissolves. Because space is not empty. Space is the substance, the medium itself, the literal fabric of reality. What we call particles are not specks of stuff, but patterns of motion, waves curving within this medium. The mistake was thinking the universe contains separate things inside of it. But the universe is the thing, the only thing. Picture a single string under tension. Now, tie a knot in it. Do you have two separate things now? A knot and a string?
No, we just have the string with a knot tied into it.
Right. Of course you don't. You have one continuous string. A medium that happens to fold upon itself. That's matter. That is us.
So space is real? Like a substance?
Real, yes. But frictionless, continuous, and alive with motion. The universe is the substance. Everything else is its structure. We are not in the universe. We are the universe, folded into form. Later, we'll see that the difference between light and matter is not what you think. It's the same medium, behaving in different ways. This is not a rejection of existing physics. In fact, it is the opposite, in that UMH explains general relativity and quantum mechanics as a mechanical framework. With all formal equations available in the UMH manuscript. Now that we've met the medium, let's explore its rules and the single equation that defines everything it does. Chapter 2. We are not made of things in space. We are the fabric of space in motion. We'll start with one tiny, intuitive relationship, something you can visualize. From that single relationship, everything else follows. Here's our entire toolbox for understanding the universe, spoken in plain words. The speed of light equals the square root of the medium's tension divided by its density. That is it. That one equation. No symbol soup, no equations to memorize, just this idea. The speed of a wave depends on how tight the medium is, its tension, and how heavy it is per volume, its density. That's not special physics. That's how any real medium behaves. In the ultronic medium, that wave speed is the speed of light. The universe's own tension and density set it. That's why the speed of light is a constant. Not by rule, but by consequence. The same law that governs sound in air or ripples on water also governs light itself. Reality doesn't change the rules. These are the rules. Imagine stretching a drum skin tighter. The waves race faster across it. Loosen it, and they slow down. Space works the same way. Its tension and density are the hidden fabric constants of the universe.
So light has a speed limit, specifically because of the medium it moves through?
Precisely. Light speed is not just a rule. It's a consequence. Its value isn't arbitrary. It's determined by the medium.
And that's why it's always the same, no matter how fast you move or where you are.
The simple relationship between tension and density is the heartbeat of UMH. From this arises light, mass, gravity, and magnetism. Not as separate forces, but as intertwined consequences that are mathematically inevitable. For the full mathematical derivations and field equations behind this, including why the speed of light remains constant, refer to the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis Manuscript.
One of the strangest things about the ultronic medium hypothesis was not that it explained the data, but that it was formulated independent of the universe we observe, built only from the mechanical principles a real oscillating medium must obey. Once a single scale was set, for example, using the speed of light, the remaining physical constants emerged through the mathematics alone. That realization deeply unsettled me, not because of what it meant about the universe, but because I didn't trust myself to be right. And if it was right, I knew I couldn't let it vanish with me.
Andrew Dodge, the author of UMH. Next, we'll see how that single equation, the speed of light equals the square root of the medium's tension divided by its density, is the universe's heartbeat. Why it creates the difference between light and matter, and why everything in physics works the way it does. Chapter 3. Understanding E equals MC squared in the ultronic medium. The equation E equals mc squared is the most famous in science. Yet few people ever stop to ask what it actually means. We say energy and mass are interchangeable. Then matter can become energy, and energy can become matter. But what is that really saying? In the ultronic medium hypothesis, this is not a coincidence. Mass isn't a different substance. It is energy, structured, stabilized, and curled into a self-reinforcing loop inside the medium. Einstein showed that mass and energy could transform into one another. But the deeper mechanical reason remained hidden. What we call conversion is simply energy changing its form. There is no true conversion, only free energy and trapped energy. There's one last question we have to ask, and it's the one people usually skip. Why c squared? Why does the speed of light appear twice in the equation? In UMH, the answer is surprisingly simple. Mass is not just energy sitting still. It's energy whose motion is confined, forced into stability by the medium itself. The speed of light sets the maximum rate at which motion can occur in the universe. And when motion is trapped, that limit enters twice. Once to set how fast the energy wants to move, and once to define how strongly the medium resists that motion being released. Like tension in a spring that doesn't want to unwind. That's why the relationship scales as c squared. Not as a mathematical trick, but as a consequence of how motion is stored in a real physical medium. For now, it's enough to see this. E equals mc squared isn't a definition, it's a description. A statement that mass is energy, measured in units set by the stiffness of the universe itself. We'll return to this later and unpack it fully. But with that picture in mind, we can move on. Because everything else in physics will now start to line up. Chapter 4. How the Medium Becomes Reality. Up to now, we've described the universe as a continuous medium, capable of motion, tension, and structure. But there's an obvious question we haven't answered yet. If the universe is a medium, how can solid matter exist at all? How can rocks, atoms, and people be made from waves? When most people think of waves, they imagine ripples passing through something, sound through air, or waves in water. But waves don't have to travel to exist. Under the right conditions, waves can fold back on themselves and become stable. A standing wave doesn't move through the medium. The motion stays trapped. Energy circulates, reinforces itself, and persists. In the ultronic medium, this is how matter forms. Particles are not bits of substance. They are stable, self-reinforcing wave patterns. Matter is behavioral, not material. Think back to when you were a child playing in water. You splash once, and ripples spread out. Splash again at the right rhythm, and the waves grow, reinforcing themselves. At the wrong rhythm, they cancel and fade. That's light, a traveling wave moving through the medium. Now, remember when you would spin your finger slowly in that same water, and a whirlpool forms, a tiny whirlpool curling inward. If you've ever watched water drain from a sink or a creek curl into an eddy, you've seen this kind of structure.
Interesting, but when I've done this in water, the whirlpool eventually collapses. So why doesn't matter stop?
Great observation. And that is one key difference. Water collapses because it has friction and turbulence. The ultronic medium does not. It is perfectly uniform and lossless, so the pattern never fades. The medium pushes inward from every direction, uniformly and without loss, sustaining the whirlpool rather than flattening it. In a perfect homogeneous medium, motion isn't opposed or eroded. Matter continues. Not because it resists decay, but because there is nothing to make it decay. In the ultronic medium, persistence isn't a mystery. The curve doesn't fight resistance. It's reinforced by the medium's pressure. When a wave bends tightly enough, the medium's own tension holds it in place. A loop of motion feeding itself, stable, self-contained. Persistence becomes the most natural thing in existence. A useful way to picture this for illustration is a tornado. A tornado isn't made of tornado stuff. There's no object moving across the land. The air stays behind. The pattern persists. You can point to it. You can track it. You can measure it. But what's real isn't the air. It's the motion. Matter forms similarly in the ultronic medium. A stable structure formed entirely from motion, held together by the medium itself. And this has a profound consequence. If matter is not something moving through the universe, then there is nothing to feel rushing past it. A wave pattern embedded in the medium doesn't experience drag. It doesn't feel a headwind. There is no resistance, because nothing is moving relative to the medium itself. The pattern is the motion of the medium. At the end of the 19th century, physicists believe light moved through space the way sound moves through air, carried by an invisible substance called the aether. They believed if that were true, Earth's motion should create an aether wind. Light traveling with the wind would move faster than light traveling across it. The Michelson-Morley experiment was designed to detect exactly that effect, and it famously found nothing. This wasn't proof that light had no medium. It was proof that the medium couldn't behave like a material you move through. UMH instead predicts exactly what Michelson and Morley observed. Because matter and light are not objects traveling through space. They are patterns of motion in space. Once you see matter this way, everything changes. Stability is no longer mysterious. Drag disappears. And the silence of the Michelson-Morley experiment becomes expected. The universe doesn't contain things. It doesn't need to. It forms them. Chapter 5. Energy and Mass. Motion and Identity. Now, think about the whirlpools in water again. The faster it spins, the tighter it pulls, and the more energy it stores. That stored energy in matter is what we experience as mass. The more tightly a vibration is held, the more energy it contains, and the more it resists change. That resistance is what we feel as mass. So, technically, the more mass you have, the more energy you contain.
So when I look at my hand, it's just energy curled up and stuck in place?
Exactly. Every atom, every molecule, every cell. Is the medium vibrating inward, knotted into form? The rock, the tree, the sun, all are loops within the same continuum. Everything is just energy. Each particle, each atom, each mountain or planet, all are standing waves, knotted motion sustained by the tension of space itself. The heavier the knot, the stronger the tug. Yet all of it is motion. Nothing solid, just space, vibrating within itself. The Earth, the stars, and all of us are not moving through the universe. We are motions of the universe itself. Now that we understand what mass is, the next question isn't what it's made of. It's how these patterns behave when they meet. Now, back to our water analogy. Let's make two whirlpools side by side, and you'll see something extraordinary. If two whirlpools spin in the same direction, they do not collapse or absorb each other. Instead, they enter a kind of orbital dance, a co-motion, where each whirlpool shapes the flow of the other. In a flat, two-dimensional world, these whirlpools might eventually merge. But in a three-dimensional medium, the geometry becomes far more intricate. The twists, turns, and pitches of their waveforms cannot perfectly synchronize. So instead of merging, they form stable boundaries, just as matter refuses to overlap or pass through itself. This mirrors the Pauli exclusion principle. The reason matter does not overlap or pass through itself. But now, reverse one whirlpool, flip its direction, and what happens?
Yes, that's what we witness when we allow matter and antimatter to collide.
The two patterns unwind, canceling one another, and releasing pure wave energy. Matter and antimatter, written in the language of motion. Previously, when we discussed Einstein's equation, something should now start becoming clearer. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Einstein showed that mass and energy are the same thing. If you multiply by c squared. But why c? Why squared? Because under UMH, c squared is not just a number. It's a property of the universe itself. C squared is tension divided by density, the stiffness of the cosmic medium. The c squared, the speed of light squared, is not a mystical constant. It's the link between the universe's tension and its density. It's the conversion rate between free motion and motion trapped in a loop. Why else should the speed of light decide the destiny of matter? And here is the missing insight. Mass is the medium curled into a loop. Energy is the medium in motion. And the conversion between the two is set by the stiffness of the universe itself. Remember now the one equation I mentioned earlier? That the speed of light, c, is the square root of tension divided by density? That equation tells us how fast motion can travel through the medium of the universe. Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared, is describing the same medium from the opposite side. Not motion moving freely, but motion trapped in a loop. The same stiffness of the universe that sets how fast waves can move also sets how much energy is contained when that motion is locked into matter. E equals mc squared is no longer a mystery. It's mechanical. It's unavoidable. It was always telling us the nature of the medium. We just weren't ready to hear it. Once everything is motion in one medium, a natural question appears. How do these motions push, pull, and twist one another? Chapter 6. Forces. How the medium pushes back. Everything here still follows from what you already understand about the medium. We're describing the same medium, responding to motion in different ways. Waves that compress their neighbors create gravity, as matter does. Patterns that repeat become stability. Patterns that persist become memory.
Then there are no separate forces, only behaviors of the same medium?
You are getting it. What we call forces are the language of the medium. Each one is a different accent of motion. Stretching, bending, twisting, compressing. Which is where the magic of UMH happens. And once you see how these motions connect, you finally understand why gravity and magnetism behave the way they do. This is the key. They are not separate mysteries. They are the same properties in different directions. Energy is motion through the medium. Mass is motion trapped within it. Gravity is its tension bending. Magnetism, its twist. Nothing here is added from outside. The universe does not need extra ingredients. Let's look more closely at how each of these behaviors actually emerges from the medium. Inertia is the medium's built-in memory. It is a natural consequence of the way this vibrating wave interacts with the medium mechanically. The medium pushes back against abrupt change. That's why matter resists change. Why it takes energy to push, pull, accelerate, or decelerate it. Just as a river remembers its flow, so does the medium. It's the medium trying to stay smooth, to conserve its own flow. The medium wants smoothness, continuity. A sudden shove creates strain, and the medium resists that strain until balance returns. This is why moving objects keep moving, not because of emptiness, but because the medium remembers the flow and preserves it. Inertia isn't an abstract law. It's a mechanical byproduct of trapped waves moving in the medium. It's the echo of the universe insisting on calm. Gravity is not a force that pulls. It's the bending of the medium. When energy or mass distorts the tension around it, the medium curves. Other patterns, waves, particles, light, follow that curvature naturally. As an illustration, picture a marble rolling toward a dip in a stretched fabric on a trampoline. It isn't pulled downward. It's following the slope the fabric created. That's gravity. The medium's own geometry, guiding motion. Gravity is not a pull. It is geometry, responding to stress. Every orbit, every falling apple, every dance of galaxies, is space adjusting to its own strain. In this view, Einstein's curve space-time becomes not abstract math, but mechanical truth, the ultronic medium's natural elasticity at work. Magnetism is the twist of the medium. Electricity is a straight-line push through the medium. Think of your hand sliding along a rope to make it ripple. Electricity pushes motion forward. Magnetism winds that motion into a spiral. Motion without twist gives you an electric field. Twist without forward motion gives you a magnetic field. But when push and twist happen together, the result is a helical pattern. Think of this like turning a screw into wood. That helix is the structure of light itself. A permanent magnet is simply a region where the medium is already twisted in one direction, like a piece of wood with a spiral groove carved into it. When iron enters that field, the medium inside the iron twists the same way, and the two patterns pull together, like matching threads of a screw. Electricity pushes the medium. Magnetism twists it. Together, they thread energy across the universe.
It's strange. Everything feels simpler and more connected when you explain it mechanically.
Mass, inertia, energy, gravity, and magnetism are not separate laws. They're dialects of motion. Each is a rhythm, a tone, a pattern within one continuous song, all connected by the medium. Under UMH, the curvature described in general relativity is not merely assumed. It can be derived. That's how UMH explains why general relativity works and what lies beneath it. Quantum mechanics never lacked rules. It lacked a physical substrate. Within the ultronic medium framework, the behaviors quantum theory has always described emerge naturally from the mechanics of the medium they act within. Next, we'll look deeper at why these stable behaviors come in families and why the universe organizes itself the way it does. Chapter 7, Symmetry. Why the universe's patterns come in families. This raises a deeper question. Why do particles come in families? Why do some have one kind of charge, others have two, and some require three? If this starts to feel abstract, that's okay. You don't need to track every detail. What matters is that the medium allows certain stable patterns. Physicists label these patterns U1, SU2, and SU3. To see why, let's return to an analogy of a string. Not because the medium is string-like, but because strings make topology easy to picture. Imagine a perfectly flexible, perfectly smooth string with tension running through it. Tie a simple twist into it, a loop that spins once around the string. That single twist can travel forever, circling the loop without changing shape. This is the simplest stable pattern the medium can make. Physicists call this symmetry U1. It's simply a single wave traveling around a loop. This looped topology is the physical geometry underlying electric charge. Now imagine two waves moving around the same loop, woven together, each one chasing the other. If either wave were removed, the pattern would fall apart. Physicists describe this with SU2, the symmetry behind the weak force. What matters is that the medium can hold two interlocking rhythms that depend on each other to survive. This two-mode loop, a toroidal topology of motion, is not metaphorical. It is a literal, stable configuration the medium supports. And then, there is the richest pattern of all. Imagine three currents flowing through the same loop, each weaving over and under the others in a repeating braid that never tangles, never collapses, and stabilizes only when all three motions exist together. It is like a self-moving braid, a wave pattern made of three intertwined loops circling forever through the medium. A trefoil is the simplest stable structure that requires three interdependent oscillations. Physicists label this symmetry SU3, the structure of the strong force. But beneath the symbol, it is simply the medium choosing the only three-mode topological pattern the medium can stably sustain.
So the forces we talk about are really just the universe choosing its most stable patterns.
Naturally. These aren't abstract mathematical inventions. They are the natural, self-sustaining patterns a continuous tensioned universe makes. The Standard Model lists these families. The Ultronic Medium explains why they exist at all. Everything you hear here is backed by a full mathematical framework and verified simulations. The complete mathematics live in the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript for those who wish to explore it. Next, we'll venture into the quantum world, where these patterns reveal their finest detail. Chapter 8. Quantum Behavior Made Real. Quantum mechanics once seemed to defy logic and reason. Particles that behave like waves. Waves that act like particles. Experiments that seem to know when we're watching them.
So are they particles or waves?
Both. And neither. At least, not the way we used to think. Under the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis, there is no mystery. There is no switch between two realities. There's only one. A continuous, tensioned medium whose ripples behave like everything we call quantum. What quantum mechanics describes in equations, UMH shows mechanically. Every particle is a structure vibration in that medium. One that can move, interfere, or lock into itself, depending on the situation. Let's start off with the famous double slit experiment. This involves two slits with light shining through. Imagine standing by a still pond and tossing two pebbles in at once. Ripples spread outward, crossing and combining. Pronounced rings where they add, quiet troughs where they cancel. That's what light does in the double slit experiment. When a beam of light, even a single photon, passes through two narrow slits, it paints a striped pattern on the far wall. Bright, dark, bright, dark.
But wait, if we send one photon at a time, how can it interfere with itself?
Because the photon isn't a marble. It's a ripple of the ultronic medium. The wave spreads through both slits at once, then overlaps with itself beyond them. The bright lines mark where the medium's ripples reinforce each other, like two synchronized waves in water. The dark lines mark where they cancel. This wave behavior also appears in single-slit experiments. The medium's ripple always spreads and diffracts, even without a second slit. And when that ripple finally meets the detector, it locks into a stable knot, a self-sustaining oscillation we call a particle. Collapse is not a choice. It's the wave snapping into its most stable knot. Just like the ripple on a pond. If it breaks in one spot, the whole pattern collapses from that point. That's why the hit appears at one point, even though the path was everywhere.
So the particle never decides between two paths. It was the wave. It was everywhere the whole time.
That's the idea. No consciousness, no parallel worlds, just one medium behaving honestly. Just one medium, one wave, behaving according to its structure. The double slit doesn't show quantum magic. It shows how the universe works. Now let's look at quantum entanglement. To picture this, think of two tuning forks made from the same metal. Strike one, the other hums. They share the same resonance. That's a simple picture of quantum entanglement.
So two particles far apart still know what the other is doing?
Not by sending signals, but because they were never truly separate. In UMH, entangled particles are two regions of the same vibration in the medium. They remain phase-locked, vibrating in step, connected by the tension network that spans space itself. When one is measured, the shared structure appears instantly. Not because information traveled faster than light, but because the coherence was already there. Like two ripples on opposite sides of a pond, they were always connected. That's entanglement, not spooky action, but the medium expressing its unity. Quantum Bell tests don't require faster-than-light signals. They simply reveal that the medium's coherence is deeper than we assumed. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle says we can't know a particle's position and momentum at the same time. In UMH, that isn't mystery. It's geometry. To locate a wave precisely, you must squeeze it, and that takes a mixture of many frequencies. The tighter you localize the wave, the more uncertain its motion becomes. Just as when you try to measure a moving wave. Spread it out, and its motion becomes clear, but its location fades. This isn't randomness. It's a mechanical trade-off of waves in a medium. Under UMH, Planck's constant corresponds to the smallest stable twist the medium can support, the minimum grain of vibration.
So the constants of physics aren't arbitrary numbers?
No. They're properties of the medium itself. The speed of light depends on its tension and density. Planck's constant sets the smallest possible action. These are fingerprints of the universe's mechanical structure. Entropy is often described as disorder, but under UMH, it means something far more elegant. When wave energy is tightly concentrated, a sharp pulse, a hot spot, a sudden knot, it can't persist indefinitely. The medium reacts. It spreads the strain, redistributing motion through interference and scattering until balance returns.
So entropy isn't about things falling apart. It's about the medium relaxing?
You've got it. Entropy is the medium seeking equilibrium. It's the natural tendency for localized tension to flatten into resonance. The second law of thermodynamics emerges not from statistics, but from mechanics, from the medium's drive to relieve stress. The universe moves from sharp oscillations toward broad harmony, not by decay, but by necessity. So what once seemed like two incompatible worlds, quantum and classical physics, are really one. The ripples that form electrons are the same waves that bend light and carry gravity.
It's not weird physics. It's just physics we finally understand.
Absolutely. UMH unites them. One medium, many modes of vibration. UMH doesn't discard quantum field theory. It explains why its equations work by showing the medium mechanics underneath them. These mechanical analogies mirror the same structure captured mathematically in Maxwell's equations. UMH reproduces those symmetries as natural deformation modes of the medium itself. Quantum fields are successful mathematical descriptors, but under UMH, they are not literal fields floating in nothing. They are approximations of the medium's mechanical wave modes. Everything we've described here, including quantum probabilities, the Born rule, Planck's constant, entanglement, and interference, follows directly from the full mathematical framework of the ultronic medium hypothesis, detailed in the UMH manuscript. Next, we'll expand this understanding outward to the vast scales of galaxies and light itself, exploring how redshift, light bending, and cosmic expansion emerge from the same medium. Chapter 9, Light, Redshift, and the Cosmic Medium. You already saw how tension and density set the speed of light. Now we'll see how those same properties shape the cosmos. Light, something every person has seen or felt, yet few truly understand. In the ultronic medium hypothesis, light is not an abstract photon streaking through emptiness. It is a pure tension wave of the medium, a ripple of structure itself. As that wave travels across galactic distances, it moves through regions where the universe itself slowly changes, where the medium's tension and density shift, even if only slightly. The medium breathes, its tension and weight slowly rising and falling over cosmic time. Not violently, not locally, but gradually and universally across vast distances in time and space. Even if the universe's tension or density changes region to region, locally, you always measure the same speed, because your clocks and rulers change with the medium. Let's think about this another way. Besides the Doppler effect, a frequency shift caused by relative motion, what other ways can light change?
Well, I guess we see light change in a rainbow and through water, like a prism or a magnifying glass.
Exactly. These ways are all known to us, even from our earliest age. But until UMH, we assumed space was empty, and it could only occur from the Doppler effect. The result? The same redshift we see through telescopes. So here's the key assumption we've been making for a century. Standard cosmology treats redshift as something that can only come from motion through empty space. But once space itself is a medium, redshift has another completely ordinary cause. Light slowly changes as it moves through regions where the medium's tension and density evolve. UMH explains the same observations through changes in the medium's tension and density, without assuming expansion as the governing mechanism. It is the natural behavior of light moving through galactic distances where tension and density evolve.
But doesn't redshift prove the universe is expanding? Doesn't redshift have to be from the Doppler effect?
That was the natural story we assumed, thinking that space was a vacuum, so there was no other way redshift could occur. The light's wavelength stretches, not because space itself expands, but because the medium it moves through gently relaxes. UMH reproduces the observed Hubble relation using a single tension decay rate without introducing additional free parameters. It's the universe revealing its mechanics, not concealing them. Similar phenomena occur in air, water, and other media. Which makes more sense? That at its fundamental level, the universe works differently than every other macro system we have observed in our whole lives? Or it works the same, just at a different scale?
Then what about the fine structure constant changing across the cosmos?
Excellent. Another clue. The fine structure constant is a number that tells us how strongly light and matter interact. If it drifts slightly over billions of years, UMH has a natural explanation. Gentle, large-scale changes in the medium's tension and density. In that view, such shifts would be the medium's pulse, not noise. As the medium's tension or density evolves ever so slightly over billions of years, the spacing of atomic lines, those fingerprints of matter, shift as well. Instead of chaos, UMH shows coherence.
Doesn't the cosmic microwave background noise come from the Big Bang, and that proves redshift has to be from expansion?
Great question. Even the cosmic microwave background, or CMB, that faint, uniform radio hum we detect from every direction in the sky, takes on a different meaning. In the standard model, it's treated as the fading echo of a primordial fireball. But that interpretation requires a sequence of assumptions. First, a rapid inflationary smoothing, then an early acoustic ringing, and finally, a perfectly uniform freeze-out across the entire universe. It works mathematically, but the inflationary picture relies on quite a few assumptions. Under UMH, the cosmic microwave background, or CMB, can be interpreted differently, not as the echo of an explosion, but as a persistent standing vibration, a steady, low-level hum of the medium at its natural frequency, a standing vibration of reality itself, present in every direction. This ties directly into one of the biggest unresolved issues in cosmology. The universe shows far more clumping than expansion-based models predict. Under UMH, this isn't a problem, and in fact, is predicted. If matter forms from trapped light, then light waves would have been more concentrated in the same regions where the structure later emerged. Clumping becomes natural, not anomalous. There is also a deeper issue here, circular reasoning. Redshift is often interpreted through the Big Bang framework, and the Big Bang framework is often justified by redshift. That loop can obscure alternative explanations. As scientists, we must always avoid circular dependencies. UMH breaks that loop. It explains redshift mechanically, through the medium's tension and density drift, with no placeholders, no dark energy, and without requiring a primordial explosion to justify the CMB.
How does UMH explain the creation of light elements during the Big Bang nucleosynthesis?
Light elements, the simplest atoms, hydrogen and helium, with tiny traces of lithium, the basic building blocks of stars and galaxies, arise when inward-curving wave modes of the ultronic medium collapse into stable-bound structures. They can form at any time when local wave energy density is high enough, and likewise, they can decay when those bound structures lose stability. A clearer universe, a more coherent universe, and one that aligns with the data we already see. Physics has not changed in this view at all. Only our interpretation has.
So light, gravity, and the cosmos are all explained by the medium.
Right. The same equation that gave us the speed of light, square root of the tension divided by density, also explains why that light reddens, why gravity bends light, and why the universe remains consistent. Nothing breaks. The math works, and the medium itself does the work. UMH is not speculative in its predictions. In the technical work behind UMH, numerical simulations reproduce key observations, including the Pantheon plus supernova data, gravitational wave chirps measured by LIGO, the acoustic structure of the cosmic microwave background, and baryon acoustic oscillations, without invoking expansion or dark energy, and with fewer degrees of freedom than standard approaches. Those results, along with the full methodology, are detailed in the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript and the accompanying public research. This model is not only elegant, it is falsifiable. It's worth pausing for a moment to clarify what kind of explanation we are actually talking about. Lambda cold dark matter, pronounced lambda CDM, the standard cosmological framework, is a phenomenological fit. It organizes observations into a consistent framework, but it does so by assuming that cosmic redshift is caused by expansion, and then introducing effective terms like dark matter and dark energy, so the equations match what we see. That approach is powerful, but it's not a mechanical description of what the universe is made of. It tells us how the readings behave, not what the engine underneath must be. UMH starts in a different place. It begins with a physical medium, with tension and density, and asks what that medium must do. Redshift, structure formation, and cosmic consistency then emerge naturally from the mechanics of the medium, without invoking the expansion as a governing mechanism. So this isn't a choice between two competing fits. Think of it like this. A photograph of a dog, if you've never seen a dog, can tell you something real. Its rough shape, and where it is standing. It's still missing almost everything that makes the dog a dog. If you want to understand how the dog actually behaves, how it runs, reacts, plays, or learns, you need the dog itself, alive and interacting. Lambda cold dark matter is like the photograph. It captures some patterns we see. UMH is the dog. It's a physical system you can interact with, a medium whose mechanics explain why those patterns appear in the first place, where it came from, and why it behaves the way we observe. Knowing the universe itself is more powerful than any static picture. Next, we'll look deeper into the puzzles of darkness, dark energy, dark matter, and black holes, and see how each one transforms from mystery into mechanical understanding under UMH. Chapter 10. The Myth of Darkness, Energy, Matter, and Collapse in the Medium. For nearly a century, we've told ourselves the universe is made mostly of things we cannot see. Dark energy, dark matter, invisible substances that outnumber our atoms 20 to 1. These ideas weren't invented casually. They were introduced to preserve consistency with observations. But what if the darkness isn't hiding matter at all? What if it's hiding mechanics? The real behavior of space itself. In standard cosmology, dark energy was introduced to explain why the universe appears to accelerate as it expands. This was necessary to make the math fit the expansion model that had been assumed. As we've already seen, under UMH, expansion is not required. The observed redshift arises mechanically from the medium's gentle relaxation. Over billions of years, its tension slightly eases. Light, passing through it, stretches. Not because space is ripped apart, but because the threads of the medium have softened ever so gently. There is no cosmological constant or special number we have to insert or fine-tune. No repulsive force pushing galaxies away. This naturally explains the observed clumping of galaxies, a long-standing tension in the expansion model. The observed redshift is the signature of this slow mechanical relaxation, a breathing cosmos, not an exploding one. This relaxation doesn't stretch objects apart. It changes the medium through which light travels. The distances don't grow. The fabric simply softens. Dark matter once seemed inescapable. Galaxies rotated too fast. Gravity appeared too strong for the visible mass alone. UMH offers a simpler, more logical explanation. When waves in the medium lock into long-lived patterns, coherent but non-radiating in electromagnetic light, they store strain without emission. These invisible regions don't emit or reflect. They simply curve the tension field around them, especially on galactic scales. And the effect is profound. To us, that curvature looks like extra gravity. But it's not a missing substance. It's a memory of motion, a persistent fold in space. This is not a modification of gravity, but a consequence of how strain is retained in the medium itself. Think of it like a dent in a stretched sheet. Nothing is hidden under the sheet, but the dent still guides how marbles roll across it. Galaxies dance around these silent structures as if led by ghosts. Yet it is geometry, not mystery, doing the guiding. And what of the deepest mystery? The black hole.
So, does UMH actually eliminate the singularity?
No. UMH actually explains why they exist and reveals that collapse occurs when a region of the medium is strained beyond its capacity to elastically recover. The tension snaps inward. The event horizon is not a magic barrier. It's the band where the medium can no longer transmit waves outward. Place a billiard ball on a trampoline, and the fabric dips. Replace it with a bowling ball, and the fabric dips so steeply that rolling waves can no longer make it outward. A black hole is the medium pushed past its restoration limit. Compression so deep that wave paths curve fully inward. The singularity is not infinite curvature in a physical sense. It's a phase transition, like water turning into ice, where the medium's response law itself changes under extreme compression. Even there, the laws are mechanical, not mystical. The horizon is simply where outward transmission ends. Only regions where the fabric folds back upon itself so tightly that new physics, perhaps a denser form of the same medium, emerges. The puzzles of dark energy, dark matter, and black holes aren't separate mysteries. They're three faces of the same medium. Tension relaxing, strain cohering, and tension collapsing. The universe does not hide its structure. It reveals it through waves. When you realize this, darkness no longer means absence. It means potential. The unseen machinery of a medium still at work. For technical readers, the mechanical derivations for vacuum tension relaxation and strain curvature fields are in the full Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript. Next, we shift from cosmic scales to the most personal, the nature of time itself. Why does it flow? And how can it slow or appear to stop without contradiction when the medium changes density or motion? Chapter 11. Relativity of Time in the Ultronic Medium. Time is not a river. It's a rhythm. The beat of the medium itself. Every cycle of motion in the ultronic medium, every wave passing a point, marks a moment. The rate at which those cycles occur is what we call the flow of time. When the medium's tension and density stay balanced, the rhythm is steady. But change one, and the tempo changes two. Tension affects how waves travel across the medium, while density determines how quickly the medium itself can cycle. That's relativity in its simplest mechanical form. When an object moves fast through the medium, the effective tension and density it experiences begin to shift, and that shift stretches its internal wave cycles. Waves take longer to complete each cycle, so the clock inside that motion ticks slower, including clocks, atoms, and even your heartbeat. Einstein showed this with geometry. UMH shows it mechanically. Near a massive body, the medium becomes denser. Not thick like a fluid, denser in its capacity to vibrate. But here is the subtle part. The local speed of waves stays the same, because it's set by the medium itself. What changes is the oscillation rate of the medium itself. Imagine a tight trampoline covered with a layer of heavy gel. The tension of the trampoline hasn't changed. Waves still travel across it at the same surface speed. But each up and down vibration takes longer, because the medium is heavier. That's gravitational time dilation. The medium's cycles slow down. Your atoms slow. Your clocks slow. Your heartbeat slows. Light doesn't slow. Time does. What we call warped space-time is an abstraction, a geometric description of a real medium whose strain changes its own tempo. What Einstein so eloquently figured out is an abstraction layer of UMH, the geometric shadow of a deeper mechanical truth. Near a black hole, this effect reaches its limit. The tension and density become so extreme that wave cycles appear to freeze relative to us. To an outside observer, time appears to stop. Yet for anything within that medium, the beat continues at its own local rhythm. The speed of light never truly changes. It's fixed by the medium itself. But when that tension or density shifts, the rhythm of everything else changes with it. Time stretches. Light bends. Not because light slows, but because the fabric it moves through has changed. Every thought, every memory, every heartbeat is a pattern of the medium in motion. When you slow down, so does your inner rhythm. The medium within you and around you shares one continuum. Time isn't something we move through. Time is something we make, moment by moment, by how we vibrate within the medium. And this isn't poetry stepping in for physics. It's what the physics is actually describing. Now, step back from the equations and think of what this means for your own experience. Even in a universe governed by precise laws, meaning is not erased. Determinism fails the moment you include the observer. No system can fully predict itself from within. For those who seek the formal description, things like cycle density equations, wave strain metrics, and time dilation comparisons, these are available in the Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript. Next, we'll look at how this changes our understanding of physics itself. Chapter 12, Clarifying the Foundations of Physics. Every great advance in physics doesn't erase what came before it. It clarifies it. Newton gave us motion. Einstein gave us curvature. Schrödinger gave us probability. Each revealed a different face of reality.
And UMH adds another?
UMH is not another layer. It is the mechanical foundation. The Ultronic Medium Hypothesis doesn't rewrite physics. It explains what physics is and why physics works. UMH is testable, simulated, and compared to real data. UMH reproduces gravitational waves, cosmological observations, and quantum behavior with predictive precision using fewer fundamental assumptions. It gives us a roadmap to explore what was once out of reach, the actual mechanics beneath light, gravity, and energy, so that we may now, with this framework, finally ask deeper questions. How old is the universe really? And what lies beyond space, if space itself is the medium and the fabric of reality?
So space isn't just an emptiness we move through. It's the thing everything is made of.
Exactly. Space is not an empty stage. Space is reality. A continuous, structured, tensioned medium. Not a metaphor. Not a quantum abstraction. A real, mechanical substance with elasticity, mechanical memory, and motion. And like any physical system, it can shift, compress, flow, or even fracture. The laws we've known, motion, relativity, quantum behavior, are not broken by this picture. They are completed by it. UMH shows why Newton's motion works, why Einstein's curvature forms, why Schrödinger's waves interfere. What we once called space-time is not a mere geometry. It's the living fabric itself.
So we don't throw away what we've learned. We finally see what holds it together.
Yes. We do not leave behind the physics we know. We finally see how it all connects and what questions we can now ask. Chapter 13, A Grounded Universe, A New Perspective. This new model of reality, The ultronic medium hypothesis doesn't break the world. It doesn't undo your life, your memories, or your meaning. You are still here, just as you were yesterday. The apple still falls. The sun still rises.
So nothing changes?
No, everything changes. But only in how we understand it. The universe hasn't shifted. Our understanding of it has. UMH doesn't unravel reality. It clarifies it. It shows that matter, energy, and even life itself are structured vibrations in a real, continuous medium. Patterns of motion held together by the same tension that carries light.
So if we're made of these patterns, can we ever learn to shape them?
That's the promise. Not magic, but mechanics. Understanding the medium doesn't grant power overnight, but it gives us a map, a way to work with the universe rather than against it. It hints at future technologies born from harmony with the medium's structure, not brute force. Much the way engines emerged once we understood pressure and heat. Imagine future technologies that emerge directly from controlling the medium's strain patterns. Directed strain continuity allows matter to relocate without traversing intermediate space, what we would normally call teleportation. Stable waveform synthesis enables matter to be assembled from reproducible strain states, effectively, true matter synthesis. Engineered strain gradients create persistent repulsive curvature, commonly described as anti-gravity. And localized tension bubbles permit effective faster-than-light motion relative to external observers, while remaining fully causal inside the medium. These are not speculative dreams. They are engineering consequences of understanding the medium. Even in the near future, UMH points toward new paths in quantum computing and controlled fusion, approaches that rely on tuning strain patterns rather than brute force. This is akin to using a scalpel rather than a sledgehammer. This doesn't make the universe smaller.
It makes it ours. Knowable. Navigable.
Consider this. Your thoughts right now are also patterns in the medium. Self-referential, structured, and sustained. Consciousness may not sit outside physics at all. It may be one of its most refined expressions.
Wait a second. Are you saying our consciousness is literally a part of the universe? You are saying we are not observers of the universe.
We're participants within it. And the better we understand the medium, the more clearly we see ourselves.
The universe, looking back on itself, mechanically real and metaphorically profound.
Your choices are yours and they matter. Not because physics is broken, but because you are part of the physics. Your existence is precious. Every major advance in science has unsettled what felt certain. That discomfort isn't failure. It's growth. Understanding deep structure doesn't drain mystery from reality. It replaces confusion with coherence. Once you see the universe this way, the pieces begin to align. The picture holds together. And it's difficult to forget. It becomes difficult to see physics the way you once did.
So instead of escaping reality, we learn how to live inside it more wisely.
Exactly. The universe doesn't lose beauty when we understand it. It reveals the elegance that was always there. The more clearly we see the medium, the more clearly we see ourselves. This isn't an ending. It is the beginning, mastering the universe we are in. Conclusion: A new beginning. We don't end with answers.
We begin with tools. Over these chapters, we've followed a single thread through all of physics. We've seen that what we call particles are actually patterns. What we call forces are tensions. And what we call space is the living, breathing medium, the fabric of reality that binds them all and binds us with them. From the quantum to the cosmic, everything is motion in one continuous fabric.
So this really does change the way we think about everything.
It does. Not by destroying what came before, but by revealing what was always there. The ultronic medium hypothesis is not the end of physics as we know it. It's the first vibration of a whole new reality. A foundation where light, gravity, matter, and life are no longer mysteries, but harmonies in a single medium. For the first time, we have the knowledge, a picture of the puzzle, to build upon that foundation, to craft tools that align with the universe's own workings, to harness energy at its root, and to shape reality not through force, but through understanding and resonance.
So this isn't the end of understanding, it's the start of creation.
Yes. And that's what makes it beautiful. The first resonance of a new reality. The dawn of an ultronic age, where knowledge becomes creation, and humanity learns to weave the very medium we are made of. The universe is no longer beyond our reach. We are already inside it, and it's waiting for us to sculpt it. Thank you for taking this journey with me. My hope is that it has given you something precious, the ability to see logic and beauty hidden inside the universe. Once you see the ultronic medium, you cannot unsee it. You may not notice the change right away. You will carry on as normal. But when you pause to look at the world, in the patterns of nature, in your own reflection, or the vastness of the sky, you'll begin to feel it. The living motion that connects everything, and the ripples you create in it every day. Epilogue. If what you've heard resonates with you, I invite you to explore the full Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript. Join the conversation and help build the future this framework makes possible. Every scientific revolution didn't begin with certainty. It began with listeners like you, curious, open-minded, and willing to question assumptions. To explore further, visit the Ultronic Physics website, where you'll find the latest Ultronic Medium Hypothesis manuscript and supporting research. Go to ultronicphysics.com. That's Ultronic, Ultronic, Physics, PHYSICS.com. And for simulations, source code, and the open research repository, github.com/ultronicphysics/UMH. The multiverse was an escape hatch, a clever workaround for a missing foundation, a thousand hypothetical worlds invented, because we could not explain this one. But with the medium revealed, they are no longer needed. Math can describe reality, but only reality can decide what math is true. I am the destroyer of imaginary universes, for there is only this one, the one we live, breathe, and struggle in, the one that shapes us, and the one we shape in return. Reality needs no copies. It needs no mirrors. It stands on its own. Andrew Dodge. C equals the square root of tension divided by density.